for accreditation fees, interest income, and verification services. I will now then look at the budgets of the various key result areas within the module and give an explanation as to the outcomes that you wish to achieve for the new financial year, as well as why we have the increase in the budget. So we have qualifications, curriculum, and certification unit, and these outcomes is the qualification sub-framework must be developed and maintained. It looks at the standards for new qualifications to be developed. It looks also at curricula that needs to be evaluated and developed. Quality development and implementation. It looks at learner achievement for certification, and the verification processes need to be maintained and improved. 2012-13, data budget of 3.6 million. This budget goes up to 4.9 million, which is a 36% increase due to the development of the NAFTA and the GETC and the NIC. The level 5 qualification, they need to look at that in terms of post-matric, and the ongoing review of the CAPS curriculum for all phases of development of the certification systems for these new qualifications. In terms of quality assurance of assessment, that's where question papers are moderated, marks are standardized, CAPS is moderated, exams are monitored, standards for assessment are articulated and maintained, stakeholder relations are established and managed, and management and support is given to certain committees. Budget they had was 20.8 million last year. They go up to 24.1 million, and it's a 16% increase due to the scope of work with regard to these outcomes. Evaluation and accreditation. It's the accreditation, it deals with the accreditation and monitoring system for providers of education and training, where they review it, they maintain it, and extend it. It also looks at the accreditation and monitoring system for assessment bodies. Provider sites need to be visited, and site visits need to be conducted. Policies need to be developed and implemented. Stakeholder relations maintained. Data management systems need to be developed. Reports and administration needs to be maintained in this regard. They had a budget of 5.7 million. Their budget goes up to 9.9 million. It's a 72% increase, which is due to the implementation of the full accreditation processes for private providers. Initially, we look at 500 schools, 240 colleges, and 60 adult education and training centers. Plus those silent new applications that come through. We have to look at staffing and instructors, advocacy, new assessment bodies that need to be monitored, and quality assured there are two new assessment bodies on the block. Provider conference needs to be held, and the reporting system and the data management around these providers and about these providers need to be collected. And that means, therefore, 72% increase in that budget. In terms of statistical information and research, that's where reporting the research reports and quality reports per qualification is established, and the research needs to be planned and implemented. Statistical reports are provided to the other units or the other key result areas of the university program. The research committee needs to be funded from this unit. Strategic support is provided. Stakeholders are consulted on strategic research. Stakeholders are engaged through conferences and published documents. And our resource center is maintained. There, a budget of 4.5 million, it goes up to 4.8 million. A mere 7% increase due to the increase in research projects, namely 18 projects. And 80 course for printing, including 3 seminars. In terms of governance and the Office of the Chief Executive Officer, the Office of the Chief Executive Officer looks at all the governance functions, organizational planning, is implementation, stakeholder relations, public relations, and communication, internal and external. That is budget of 3.2 million. Budget goes up to 3.7 million, which is a 15% increase due to administrative costs for travel, accommodation, and flights, which is the bulk of the expenditure for this particular unit. In terms of corporate services, the information technology unit ensures that systems are established and maintained and improved, that the certification IT program is effective, and that adequate computer hardware and software is installed and maintained to support the operation, including the management information system. That budget of 6 million, it goes up to 7.1 million, and it's an 18% increase required due to increase in computer costs, mainly for the replacement of hardware and software and improvement. For corporate services, finance, and the supply chain management, this unit specifically deals with finance and accounting systems, including the payroll. It also looks at the whole procurement function, the supply chain management system, and building and security systems need to be maintained and improved. Had a budget of 45.5 million, goes up to 52 million, 15% increase due to those additional costs, which we are still about to fill, and a 6.6% increment for inflation-linked salary increments as pronounced by the Department of Public Service Administration. In terms of human resource management and development, this particular outcome looks at the administration of human resources, the implementation of development plans for staff and for the organization as a whole, and it also looks at general services like reception services and record management services. They had a budget of 3.4 million, the budget goes up to 3.7 million, it's an 11% increase due to HR development strategies for staff workflow and the implementation of the records management system, which is quite critical for the kind of work. The grant total then 92.9 million, going up to 110 million, which is an overall a 19% increase, excluding the additional budget for the 2012-2013 additional budget for CapEx, which was for the additional premises and so forth. This slide is one of my favorites because I like to go back to the history and see where we come from and the road that we've walked as humanity. It shows our total income and our budgeted income in certain regards. Since the year 2000, we started with income of 6.1 million, where we did not obtain a grant from the Department of Education. And you can see this graph has steadily increased over the years from 11% of our total income to last year being 46% of our total income. And for the 2013-2014 financial year, this budget goes up, this graph goes up to a whopping 88%. And again, we say we're thanks. Because for once in Malusi, we do not have to manage debtors and ensure that provincial departments pay up, because unfortunately they do not always pay on time. And then going forward, the budget should average around 80-90% of our budget. So for 2014-15, we estimate our budget should go up to 118 million and 2015-16 to 155 million. I think the next slide just confirms this and also shows the percentage year-on-year increase. So between 2012 to 2013, there's an increase of around 19%. But notice that for 2014, it goes down to 7% and then goes up again to around 14%. And I just like just I'm going to be very brief in my conclusion. We just want to challenge that we still face as an organization. The first one is about the future of humanity and public in the higher education and training in data. We are waiting with greatest breath for the white paper. In particular, in relation to what the Green Paper say about the collapsing of the QC into a mega QC, we did make our input that the same, our quality assurance approaches are different. CHE, the business addition, their quality assurance process is different. Not get a national city. We get the city issued by the University of Stellenbosch, Western Cape, the Limpopo and so forth and so on. Ours is a different exercise altogether. CPTO is a different ball game. Our just don't need the quality test in the same. CPTO's operation, I don't understand because I've been studying that system. I understand CHE, I understand the knowledge because I've studied through that system, but through the CITA system and CITA land, I don't understand. So collapsing is always going to be a problem. Our only comfort comes from a statement made by the Honorable Minister of Education and Training, Dr. Fernandez. In this case, in January, February, here in Parliament, he had a workshop of parliamentarians and also all the universities of the state that are involved in the tech. Is there any rethink on this whole notion of collapsing the QCs into one mega QC? And I think we're meeting with the data set in terms of human position in future and the recommendation that we made in that green paper. The humanity strategic and development plan has been submitted. They've been described by the Ministry of Education. So, I want to thank the acting chair and also the chairperson in the Hope Malka in absentia and the members of this committee, the Honorable Members, for the opportunity to present this budget review. We'd like to express our sincere gratitude to this committee, the Minister of Basic Education, and the Department for support in ensuring that the grant award is promoted to improve so that our mandate and quality assurance standards is achieved in South Africa. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much to the CFO for the presentation that you have made. Now, let me open the opportunity to the Honourable Members for their comments, their questions, and to anything that you want to say.
Thank you very much, Jacob. In fact, Chair, there is so much information in this excellent report that we could, I'm sure, have a whole day workshop on. It really is fascinating, and there's a lot that is there to be debated. And a good example, and let me start with that, is the role of Umalusi with respect to the curriculum. There is a statement that has been made, and it's a very interesting one, that Umalusi needs to be more involved in curriculum development and implementation. My request is simply that Dr. Rakometi elaborate on that, why that statement is made and how people think that plays out. Also, a statement made in the report is to say there are so many, it would be wonderful to have a workshop, but it's on the grade 12 posture, and the whole media hype about it. But it says here on page 9, it says the question then is, are Umalusi's quality assurance processes adequately measured? Quality just needs to be interrogated and the strategy put in place. Now, we know that the Minister has an ministerial investigation into the quality of our national energy system. My question then is this adequate, or are you actually saying we must go further than that? I hope that you will be part, why don't you just answer that as part B of that question. Will you be part of the ministerial investigation? But is it adequate? Chair, just referring to the slides that were put up this morning, I don't, it's something that I still am grappling with. I haven't understood from day one, and I still don't fully understand. It's in your report as well, but you said you gave your mandate very clearly, bullet points of the report. And the first bullet point is, as a top example, to develop and manage a sub-framework of qualifications for general and further education and training. Now, does Woman Lucy come up with the qualifications? Does Woman Lucy decide we need this qualification and then develop it? Or who initiates the process? How does the process of qualification acceptance go? And just as an example, one of the things that we believe is important is that there should be a certificated exit point, and I know that's a whole other debate, but there should be a certificated exit point below grade 12. So grade 9 should be a certificated exit point. But how does the process, if that was an idea, how would the process work? Would it be initiated by Umaluti or by the EE? How does it work? I don't fully understand that. Chair, on page... I'm referring to page 5, where it speaks about, and in many places, it speaks about the accreditation of providers of education, training, and assessment. Now, and later in the presentation this morning, the numbers of private schools, etc., were mentioned, 500 odd. My question is, why are you not accrediting public schools? I come from the Eastern Cape, where, and last week, my colleague and I visited a school in predominantly the constituency that I serve. We visited Mary Waters High School, where there are 11 teachers short. We then went to Alexandra High School and Londria High School, where there are 10 teachers short. We then went to Human Talk Senior Secondary School, where there are also 10 teachers short. We all saw across the school. Teaching cannot take place. These are public schools. So I'm talking about teachers. I'm talking about the lack of textbooks. I'm talking about infrastructure that is not in place. But in public schools, just as much as in private schools, there are circumstances that exist that preclude proper education from taking place. Does all of you have any role in the accreditation of public schools? And if not, why not? And then my last question for our chair is, let me just refer to page 18 where I have it. On your research, just as you were presenting this panel, there was an email that came through from the Centre for Development and Insight on, in fact, the employment rates of graduates, some new research that they have done. They make their research very, very public. You want to hear more from it? my question is that the research that you do, I'm sure to everybody in the education sector at any rate, and there are so many, would be extremely interesting. Why is your research not more publicly? I've never seen your research. I don't know if others have. Is it publicly made available? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, let me also agree with the group report. It was nice to read it. There are two things, or one thing that worked whilst I was reading and the presentation, which I was missing. It didn't speak on targets today, which I missed. Your targets are there in the strategic plan, but I thought you would just pull up in. I don't have questions on the target. I think there's a lot of information that can be questioned, but I will not go that way. Chairperson, On quality assured qualifications and curriculum, a question in that regard. First of all, the Venda incident, which was debated yesterday on SAFM, got the learners probably accepted certificates. I'm not going to give the details. But my question is, apart from that incident, do you feel that your reputation as a QC is at risk? And if that is the case, how are you going to deal with it? Then, on the side of the curriculum, your quality assured curriculum as well. And my colleague has indicated your role and what you want to do, and maybe you should get more involved in it. But I want to be blunt and to be straightforward with one sort of concern that I have with regard to mathematics. Right? And I'm not going to deal with the shortage and everything, but I'm going to ask a question whether you will consider to bring back in the curriculum the differentiation in mathematics of having standard grades and higher grade mathematics. Because it worked in the past. Those that want to become actuaries and those, they take higher grades. To some extent, some of them even took standard grade mathematics. Because, I'm saying this, if you look at the question paper, ordinary learners, I mean mathematics, that question paper that the learners are writing is almost higher grade, as I have experienced. So, I think, and I'm not saying that we must get rid of math literacy. I'm just saying maybe we should go back to what we had, have math literacy up to grade 9. And after grade 9, when you go into the FET, the further in education, then you start choosing, do I want to do mathematics? And if I do mathematics, will I be able to be, will there be differentiation? And it's definitely not discrimination, it is differentiation. Because the UF learners that are capable of doing mathematics, but not in the, you know, when it comes to the assessment or to the final paper, they just not performing it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
that end, we are organizing meetings very soon so that we can the process to say the minister is the only one who can approve the qualification. In other words, must cannot develop a qualification and start consulting. So that interface has to be clear, and the approaches of the department have to be clear. Usually we clarify this matter further. She's a specialist in this area. The other area on this point that is valid is when do we review a qualification? Sometimes we find the qualification has been in circulation for 2 years. And the minister is going to receive a complaint from the stakeholders when he has received complaints all over the country. He then says, I'm going to review your country. And he's within 2 years. Now, Umaris will say, when you review your qualification, you have to be out for 5 years. Because you want to observe and retain that qualification. For you to speak with authorities and say, these are the weaknesses of this qualification, these are the threats. And not to just initiate. Without waiting for that period. And then we also have approaches where that's why we have to fight each other with the DDA. Where, for instance, the CAPS process, the ministry will initiate the process that and have all the qualifications and pronounce also on the implementation in phases. And take humanity. Can you look at this CAPS program? Is it okay? And then we're not able to pronounce before the rollout. Then the rollout is taking place, yet the money has not been received to the meeting. So that we have to start each other with the team person. Okay? When you want us to get involved, because these qualifications are all about them, give us so much time. Because pronouncing within 2 months is impossible. You have to do research. You have to call access to look at what the captain is proposing. For us to give the minister and greater time. That the final authority on the qualifications that come on our platform is that of the we cannot on our own without counting the now we have put these qualifications on our platform. The council can recommend finally the minister, having gone through the processes, the rigmarole, the processes of calling in access and of that, finally the resident will be done. But as to the nitty-gritty of the processes, we have to agree on that. We are participating in the task team that looks at Melazmore on the task of hand. The minister invited to Madusi and I've nominated all of my senior managers who are a specialist in curriculum and qualification to serve in a committee. Rather, we're going to participate, we are going to make our input. Council, in this February meeting, debated our approach and agreed on a position. I'm not able to pronounce on that position now because it has not been tabled to the task team. I don't have to jump with that. But council has already applied his mind on the mandate that it gives to his delegating committee in the task team and to say what is our approach. In terms of the introduction of air qualification, that is the example that I cited of maybe a many times. It didn't have to be the initiative of the minister also here. And also, humans can advise them. If the minister is not doing anything about it, if we have a sense that getting at this point communicate the instruction of student is not adequate, humans can advise the minister. But the final call will be that of the minister. It's advice. And also, the minister can initiate without humans waiting up to the second. So we did a qualification at this point. Then the minister will, through the rigmarole that takes place before it is final, involve the model. But the final pronouncement will come from the minister. After having involved the model. Whether it is the model will initiate, whether it is the minister, will be involved in the rigmarole, in the nitty gritty, in the nuts and bolts, with our access, but the final pronouncement will be that of the minister. The schooling system. Why are we not accrediting the public schools? It is in the Act. It is in the Act. The Act says we only accredit private providers of education. Having said that, the assumption here is that there is territory. That's the word for the public schools. Because it says that they are called different things in different provinces. Because parent managers in the province where I come from, they are called SMG, school management developers, and so on. we work hard for the school. And also, in terms of the issue that we need textbooks, infrastructure, we got meeting, we got meeting, which look at the whole system of education and able to pronounce on all the levels of education, from the school, to a second, to a district, to a province, even up to national level, of the institution. So that meeting's responsibility. We don't get involved according to our efforts in private schools in terms of how we perform, but we do in private schools. The CDE research on employment rate of graduates, I see that research. I see that piece of research was also delivered on my email. Humanity does quality research. And after completing every piece of research that has been approved by the research program, professors that we call, and maybe been approved by the council. We hold seminars and conferences to share our research broadly. We do that. And also, it will be conferences or seminars. And any research report on any topic that we have dealt with is available on the press. I'm not sure, maybe what we could do a compendium of the research and then it's all the continuing engineering. Beyond today. Just to send you a compendium of all the research reports, ranging from foundation studies, the benchmarking that we have done of the NSC in different countries and so forth and so on, language reports and so forth and so on. But having said that also, the research that we do at UMass is available and it's not available on our website. But for the purposes of the process committee, we have compendium for all the members individually. So that you can look at the kind of research that we do. And maybe also, even those ministry reports for the portfolio committee members will be available at our seminar. Just to indicate the CPD one, just to send an invitation to say we are holding this conference to share the research report so that should the chairperson the committee through the protocols of Parliament find the fitting for the honorable members to come, that they should come, will you present that research report? We will respond generally on the packet and I will be responsible for the presentation. We have started responding to the quality assurance of qualifications and curriculum, the interface between the department, all of these times, how the interface with the department and who has the final way to do it, the vendor incident and the reputation of humanity. My sense is that in terms of our education, nothing is at stake here as far as we are concerned. We have done our work. We've got a foolproof kind of system in terms of how to protect it from anybody passing the system and undermining our processes. We have the security features which I'm going to go through of what's in here. And we have a very good education system. So on our part, in terms of the risk, there's no risk. And in terms of the percentage of the frozen and vinegar that are taking it, it's less than 1%. Now, how do you manage that as much as when the country is so broad to say, if somebody is in an apartment, taking a frozen or any manufacturer's disease, you can't control that. The only thing that you have to do is that ensure that the security features are right, ensure that your certification that certificates are secure, and you're audited on this by the internal and external auditor to check the processes that we have on certification. They pronounce on that element to say that's not properly, everything is correct, the term approved and so forth and so on. Now, all I'm saying is that we have to take joint responsibility with all the users on the scene, be they employers, universities, and OS, to say, check for the security feature. When they are in town, it's very fast. We have made a proposal to QCC, which falls under qualification, curriculum, and discrimination, that they should prepare a section under my signature. That is going to go to the Commission of Police, Ria Pierre, talking about the security feature of the city. That has been segregated to all the police stations in the country. Where the CDs are certified. You say, what? Well, when you certify the CDs, why can't you just hold it against life and check the watermark that I'm going? integrity features of the spirit. In that way, we'll be cooperating with the Holy Nation. We can't stop somebody at year zero in Joburg using a protocol here to manifest their spirit. This is where we are sitting. Forging the signature of the seal of humanity. And forgetting that in the quality of paper, not comparing the high-tech quality of paper that we are using. Now, maybe let me talk about the security features that we have shared. In this certification process, humanity has put a number of security measures in place to ensure the validity of the certificate and to also ensure that we follow the rules governing the issue of there are rules of communication, rules of everything, of issuing the people. Security features play a major part in the verification of the authenticity of the people. We use special background features. You cannot find it anywhere in the team. Special background features with a number of security features to produce our security. The most important of these features is the data printed on a watermark. The old CD gate is going to help them against the line to indicate what amount of relevant. Later on, we had authentic. Now, this year, we're going to have Umar in court again. And also, the coat of arms will be the background on this line. You'll see the major coat of arms. But there is a hidden coat of arms that you can only see against the line. And then it's really authentic, relevant, or not. Or not. In much the same way, the bank notes are authenticated. You can see, as a you can see, used to the 100 grams that you know. You say, ah, this one is fake. And 100 grams notes are, everybody is going to say 100 grams notes for the same. So, you know, I don't think the features ensure that their ground paper measure up to international standards. International standards. Each certificate issue has got its own tracking number. And all the certificates are brought in. Certificate paper is checked and controlled during the process of personalizing the certificate for the individual candidate. I'm impressed when the senior manager of the institution came to show me the certificates that are going to be issued for the student that they get. On each certificate, there will be the subject and the later user that is coming, as usual. But this will also form the back, part of the background paper. So it will be on the certificate, but also part of the background paper. So that my certificate with that of Nick, you know, not in the same, because she's doing sciences, I'll be doing the humanities, even with the background paper. So on our part as humanity, in terms of the people that we're doing our part, and our environment in which humanities is being created, anyway. I can go to town with this, let me tell you folks. We have not debated on our road. The notion of the possibility of mass hybrid implementation. We have not come to that. It's not on the cusp that where we remember to story about something, a proposal to be made to the ministry and the motivation to do it. What we are busy with as we talk is the research that we're conducting with the IED. Where the IED is saying, why can't we allow students to do mathematics and Netflix to get for both of them together. And then on the CDA, the first 7 subjects will include any of the two, yes, and the other part together. Then we draw a line and the other will draw one sentence. Because the two subjects are just different things. So at the end of the day, we are doing that research, we'll have to actually go to the minister in whatever country we have, we need down. And we see that example of how we deal with some things and curriculum. Where this initiative comes from IED and we partner with other national people and go to the minister and say, minister, this is what we propose. So we're doing that. But in terms of central accommodation, celebration has been same thing in mathematics on its own. My sense is that each and every question is better than it says. And that is the question of the subject of something like accommodate low order questions, middle order questions, and high order questions. So that a learner who would have done something is accommodated in that one question. You should be able to pass in the same way as you would have passed the standard exam. And a learner also who would have done high grade would find the question paper equally challenging. So currently the paper I'm giving the testimony, both set of men in the old dispensation of Sanhedrin. Who is responsible for saying things speaking between us and Saba? No one has responsibility. Take the together issued by the crooks out there at Hebrew. They are crooks, they have to be arrested. They are committing genocide, they are killing the nation. They have to be arrested. Where we are concerned with issues of this thing, which is very practical for the city, because of the safety features that I have spoken about. What we do is, once we get the big issues, we upload that information to the National Learner Records Commission itself. So that as the learner progresses to his FET qualification, to his university qualification, then the qualifications of that individual then can be consolidated and stuff. That will draw information from the universities, from human universities, and help the learner record data based stuff. SAPA also will have to consult with us before it verifies any qualifications that we issue. We have to consult with that. But we are the anchor when it comes to the qualifications that are on our subject. Let me see. I've read the safety institution. I've spoken about the police station and the condition of the post and the safety director sending it to Manusi to inform Riyadh and help him to see all police stations. And then you get the details of Manusi, but look for the police. But it's not against the copy. Because that's where the problem starts. The copy of a copy is the authentication thereof. I want to thank this portfolio committee for the initiative that they had last year of calling Umaru, the Professor Jonathan Johnson, the CHE, the Department of Education, the Department of Education, about the quality of education in the country. I'm not sure whether this committee is taking feedback from the assignment that they gave on that one. I know they need to speak assignment so that we can talk about the quality of education. But I've made my point known in this committee. So say I have more confidence in our education system. That is the growth. It is producing critical thinkers. People who can think outside the box, divergent thinkers, not convergent thinkers. I've also indicated that it's not even in our explanation saying there are no problems in our education. That's thinkers telling us. And I've also on record that they said, if I'm using this, our learners are micro-organs. They just better education. And then in terms of the key tenets of learning and education, we think we fall flat in the country. We just take them for interclasses, they don't dress, they don't read, they are forever in class, and we say, no, these are the intervention strategies. Intervention strategies, keep busy. Learners are in class from 7:30 to 2:00, and they are there first throughout the day. And then the teachers are in front of the class throughout the day, and they are waiting. And then they do extra material activities, and when the school closes, they don't have a lot of rentals, and do that little extra work at home as well. They have to be allowed to play. It's normal to play. That's why we are allowed to play, because we used to play. I'm also on record that in South Africa, we are playing many games. It's a vicious cycle. The plan of school teachers are blaming the homes for not preparing them at anything for school. Secondary schools are blaming the primary school, universities are blaming secondary schools. And we also blame the universities because they are producing the teachers. We are saying the boat is keeping on their back. Because the boat is in general, all things without preparing the homes. That's where I come. We have to actually still call that meeting in order to check with you if you so wish as a problem. To come and account for the question that you raised last year about the quality of our education. The reason I want to vouch for our education system today is that I'm surprised by the concept that my children are using today at their age. This concept at age 9, they're 9 years old, but they're already using this concept. Which concept I could not use until I was in high school? That's why I'm able to say I'm. And I started sometimes. I'm CEO of Umaru. That's why the consumption has never gone. I look at the acoustic and I say, wow, they are doing this already here. I did this at the quantity. I struggle with that. Now we talk quality, I'm going to probably clear the quantity to the way. We all know. We all feel this one excellent machine because we have the problem. We look at that. And we say, high quality. We can see, we start with some of the things out here. And we are just with this. And we will continue to do research as we can. And I buy the things. And also the technique. Our involvement with this is not here currently. I had a meeting towards the end of last year with the CEO of the city. We were trying to find each other, how we can support each other in our way, where we don't want to double things as we did in high school. You see, independent schools could be facing a system overload because they've got the applications that this and that. We wanted to visit them for purposes of accreditation. And then you may also have new business. So I'm trying to clarify that with Dr. Henry Payne today. Where do you follow up on this year? We still have to have a follow-up meeting. We don't see the accounts in the media. But every guy, with the guy who will start one, CHMT, CEO, and others, the CEOs are sitting on each other's counter. I know I'm living in the CEO. And they know I'm living in my counter. And we also have the CEO committee of the chief teams and partners. So in that way, we are able to collaborate. But in terms of how we interface with me, is on this basis, the need arises, and it's on request to say, hey, Nick, I want to meet you. You need to discuss our scopes of operation, so they don't have to take the independent systems over there. Colleagues, I might have left some of the issues. We can warm up. Thank you very much. I just look at the mission and asking the colleagues to warm up.
First of all, in terms of what's for communication as opposed to what we've been briefed today, our mandate has always been since 2001 to include independent schools, in particular private colleges and private adult learning centers. It has always been a requirement that the minister would declare policy on criteria for accreditation. That never happened. I mean, 3 years we have lived in this country. Policy was finally declared in October 2012, last year. So all of that time is wasted. But also, we couldn't be seen to be not doing our mandate. So what we did was, we began by granting provisional accreditation. Provisional accreditation was kind of a retrospective recommendation to that. In the sense that it consisted of a list of compliance criteria, which basically were not existing to the quality of the teaching and learning, but just more to the capacity of the institution to be able to offer the qualification. So far, do you have teachers that are registered in state? Are they properly qualified? Are you teaching the right curriculum? Do you end up having enough money? Do you have proper classrooms? It was kind of at that level, but it was a tick box exercise really. Whether people complying or they weren't complying. And it wasn't really a gradient, it wasn't a grey area, but it also was developmental in nature, because in fact there were many institutions that even couldn't meet the compliance list. So we initially had 3 year provisional accreditation, and then a 3 year period as the provider would be allowed to pick up and there were conditions and we would monitor the conditions. We try to get them to a point where at least we could pick the list for everybody on the same. We've got policy for this and policy for that and so on. While we awaited the declaration of the accreditation criteria. And as I said, these were then promulgated finally last year. So when we talk about critical accreditation now, it actually is a much more qualitative process. It's not ticking boxes any longer. We've ticked all the boxes now. And we have providers at different stages of the tick box compliance. We've got cohorts of providers. We've got, like, instance, a cohort, what we call an approved candidate for accreditation. An approved candidate for accreditation is a school or a college or a private education center which has all the boxes ticked, but has never gone to any search against that new criteria. But they wait and they're searched. And then you've got those who are still in the process, and then you've got those who are silent behind and all over the show.
And within the silent group, there's also nuances. There's those we know about that have never made their presentation a priority, and then there's those we don't know about who hang around the presentation and make it. So it's kind of a full spectrum of provisions. So what we're doing now is we're rolling out the full process against, so to speak, the approved criteria, and that is much more qualitative. It's looking much more at the standard of what we're talking about. The adult learning centre is looking much more at how that school or college is managing its internal quality and the quality of the students' results and so on. So that is the new process, and with the new process is coming structure. We've established an implementation committee, it's a much more formalised structure. We previously would have provided a card for provisional presentation. The decision was made by the evaluators to evaluate the submission and by the unit and the staff. Now there's a formal structure in the committee of council, and all of the applications go to the committee of council, and it has a way, you know, a way of following its way through the process. So we are at the moment consulting all the various sectors around the full rollout process, because it has implications for those who are already with us. And of course they will enjoy our initial attention, our immediate attention. And that is the 500 schools that we're talking about in terms of colleges and so on. They are those who have ticked all their boxes with us over the years. And we obviously will agree to them first so that we can kind of settle that. And at the same time, we're going to launch an advocacy around the presentation so that we can move. And there will be a whistleblowing line for those to report to schools and colleges that are operating illegally and we start to mop up this area. We're also working with the provincial departments of education to block, well, close the gap between the registration process and the implementation process. Because what has happened over the years, quite often there were schools that were registered but not accredited. Then some of the accredited not registered. I mean, it was quite messy. But that's now the new regulatory policy declared by the minister closes that gap. So we need to move in actually now, as we speak tomorrow actually. With the provincial departments of education to work out what our little dance will be and look out where we're first and what happens first and then what happens next. So in the case of schools, that's always the case. In terms of colleges, that process is already worked out. We have a very tight process with the Department of Higher Education planning around it. So those need to be closed. And I don't know, you would have noticed that last year in the school, there were providers and colleges that were arrested for illegal operation. And that's going to start happening in schools now too. So as we start to close these lines, we'll start to see that kind of mopping up. So that's when we talk about critical education, that is kind of the plan. But it does, it's quite an expensive process. I mean, we really, really work on these budgets to try and keep things down as much as possible. And on the one hand, providers will pay, but on the other hand, we need to be able to support the process. And obviously the cost has been worked out so that schools can't pay part of it and pay the other part. So we can't keep the cost, you know, within the community. In terms of the public system, in schools, as Dr. Rakhmeti indicated, I mean, in terms of our relationship with media, you know, we've only ever met in class because I think they themselves have been pinning around what their actual role is and what they're doing. But it does seem as if we're not really taking on each other's toes, and I think it is something that can be worked out. Accreditation is a judgmental process. We come here, we do well enough, and we give you a say. If we're not good enough, we go away. But accreditation is not about school building. Neither is about school building. That is the difference. And there are many schools that would not meet the accreditation criteria. And they need development. And that is needs growth, as we see it at this moment. I mean, it may be that we see things differently once we meet again and talk to them soon, but I think that we're obviously going to have to interface our processes in some way so that there is an overlap and we feed it to them and they feed it to us, so there's a kind of cross-pollination in terms of reporting and you know, a data flow.
Yes,
one of them.
No, we do.
consumer food education, and of course there are imperative qualifications, which are national food certificates and so on, all the ones you know. But it's really a question of saying when is a new qualification what will happen? Because that's when you kind of second into the car in a sense. I mean, the national food certificate is an existing qualification, and yet there is a shift in the sense that Maluki now takes care of the standards of that qualification. But that doesn't mean that we need to develop the standards of that qualification. We do oversee it. So, who would develop what? We can believe the opinion of Dr. Maluki indicated on who would develop the curriculum, and it's clear that it's the department that limits the qualification of this curriculum. In terms of the qualification itself, which we see as something slightly separate, that is something Maluki would advise on to the ministry, and to that end we have to develop qualifications with that one on how, what a qualification should look like for our sector, you know, what are the components, what is the weighting of the kind of rules combination and things like that, that would then govern the registration of such a qualification. So we're pretty policy there in terms of this, in terms of the qualification itself, and that policy would also apply to any private provider who can use a proposal. So that's how we see it. I mean, would we need to develop a qualification? Well, where a minister requests us to develop a qualification, we would, but not the curriculum. Curriculum, I mean, Maluku's position around standards is good. It's going to tell them a number of places. Standards are not held in qualification or in the statement of qualification. Standards are held to a certain extent in the qualification because there's rules of combination and there's past requirements and things like that that determine standards. But it's primarily held in the curriculum and how that curriculum is being set. So where Maluku would touch on that would be in the quality assurance part. I don't know if that makes any sense. I mean, but as I can say, these things are not absolutely concrete or 100% clear at this stage, and I think we'll just have to feel our way through this, and obviously through meetings and kind of settle out how we work in terms of this process.
Yeah. I think
we
need to see what we're saying on. Before I give over to the Chief Financial Officer on the financial issue, I just want to add on the debate that I think we have followed around the quality of our education. To say, while I'm confident that we are giving quality education to our learners, those critical voices are actually necessary, and they are necessary. So that I celebrate always when we get critical voices, because they keep us on our toes. These academics who talk about education or being criticized have to be appreciated. Otherwise, you'll be complacent and will stagnate. That's my own view. So I don't get irritated when they comment like that about the education. I just say, wow, that is an area that you have to look at and maybe research. Can share. I want you to start making a comment. Yeah.
I just
touch
on at the moment, look, we're looking for the benchmark, the National Institute of Curriculum, the International Baccalaureate and the Cambridge International qualification in about 2009, 2010, but before the pandemic. And our curriculum is found to be at AS level in terms of the British UK model, Cambridge, and that it compares very well with the International Baccalaureate in terms of the curriculum. So we were kind of happy with the standard of the curriculum at that point. We annually look at the assessment of standards. And with the new qualification, there's always kind of wobbles, but certainly all of the subjects have started to show a kind of bedding in and assessment of the standard, and a consistency is starting to develop, which is very good news. So one area that we don't have a lot of control to is in the implementation of the curriculum and in the enactment of the curriculum. And I suspect that is where the quality is compromised. If the quality is compromised, it's probably not. see what's happening, particularly around social media. There's a lot of really interesting reports that come out. One of the research projects that we've been up to is having someone look at English as a first additional language and the standard of that, and then looking at all the other subjects and the standard of English required in those subjects in order to A, comprehend the learning, you know, learn and be able to then write the exams in a so that we can see whether English first additional language is in fact sufficiently of sufficient standards to enable a learner to engage with history, geography, science, math, and all of the other subjects. And that report should be coming out, you know, within this year. It should be very interesting because we seem to be moving towards let's see what the outcomes of the research is. There's other research being done as well in the languages. We're developing a framework for the assessment of home languages. In other words, how home language should be assessed and the kind of taxonomy that should be used for the evaluation of the standard of home languages. And so on. So there's a lot of very interesting language work coming out, which I thought I would just highlight.
Thank you, Chairman. I want to address the question by Honourable Smile with regards to a certain indication of any targets. I think we have not intentionally left out any targets because the assumption has been that the strategic plan and the annual performance plan are before this committee. And I don't think we were absolutely aware that they would be of interest. So we stuck to the outcomes or the key bulk areas that human resources would have to control. Is there any particular need for us to talk to that at a future date? We need to have to do so.
When it comes to any of the questions by Honourable Matubela, I thank you for the questions. With regards to 147% of our revenue that was collected, what happens is when you invoice during the year, that would make up 100% of the revenue. But when we are able to collect the outstanding of the previous financial year, we add it, and so we come to that particular percentage of 147%. I just want to give an indication. For example, at the end of 2011-2012, we had debtors amounting to 21.2 million. That was our outstanding debt. But at the end of 2012-2013, we only had outstanding debt of 3.7 million. But it shows you the extent to which we had collected the previous year's outstanding debt. Also, in terms of our budget, where we indicate that we are 13% below budget, and I think I can just go to that slide. You will notice that, again, under certification, our budget was 42.3 million, but our actual was 27 million, because we had collected the 20 million the year prior to that. And based upon that, the result in our collections being below by 30%. Okay? And that technically then explains the reason why we were below budget. The money was still collected, it's just that it was not accounted for in the financial year. It was accounted for in the financial year. Then in terms of the revised budget of the revised total, the budget is 110 million and the grant is 97 million. The difference will be made up, and the question was, in our view, will we be able to cover it? Now that will be made up of accreditation fees, the full accreditation processes that providers are going to have to pay, and verification services of 6.6 million. And then also the private FEC colleges, the private FEC institutions will still have the certification fees, but public FEC colleges will not have to pay. And that will make up the difference, and we are certain that we will be having one. In
terms of finance and supply chain management, yes, the budget was actually what was spent was 38 million for the past financial year. The budget was 45, and the difference was the fact that they were open process, kept them not closed, and then that maintenance that could not be done during the financial year. And that's the difference then in the figures which we show at the end of our presentation with regards to the difference between the budget from the previous year and the budget from the new financial year. All in all, then, I think it's important for us to indicate that when it comes to the collections of certification revenue, Umalusi is still requiring the provincial department of education, is still requiring private equity colleges to pay their outstanding debt to Umalusi. And we've got debtors to the tune of 3.7 million. And so our intention is to still make those collections, even though the public colleges and schools really won't have to pay from further. Out of 144. That's
Okay, you don't think you have to follow up that. Okay. The consensus was made that the National Student Certificate was bench, or the curriculum, rather, was in 2009-odd before PAC, international benchmark. Now, has two questions about PAC. The one I've asked before and I'm asking again. Was PAC fully quality assured before it was rolled out? Secondly, what has PAC ever been internationally benchmarked? And if so, when?
How you need to report on how your qualification is performing, and to
that said, one may want to come on to do some kind of sampling or at least some reasonably big research project around the transaction. But I can't see that our mandate stretches to actually put up in spectrum. And the purpose was never by the department has this spectrum. So I think it's just again how we work with our structures. Silent applications, so obviously there can't be silent for that. But I mean, I think what we meant was there were schools and colleges that applied initially for accreditation and then just disappear off the radar. They'll come initially and they'll say, we want to apply to this elite or whatever. And then after that, when you try and contact them, they're uncontactable with the And we don't have a police force especially, and I mean, we can't really do that. The Department of Education is going to take care of that. So the issue of legality for operation is not in the mind of the department.
Thank you very much for the discussion today. But before we look out of our meeting, we do have that what we look at the presentation made by Mr. Rash. Can you just give a 1 minute opportunity to comment on the presentation? And I don't think we can look at it. So I'm going to give you a proper presentation.
Thank you. Yeah. Sunday night, isn't it?
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
coming. Oopsie.
We found the other door.
Oh, I've never got out there. I've never been in here before. yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Same committee as yesterday. Just